We're also going to go to the book of Luke chapter 22 as well. If you'll go there with me, Luke chapter 4 and Luke 22. Amen. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 4 and also Luke chapter 22. And we're trusting God to help us tonight. Amen. Luke 4, Luke 22. When you get there, just give me a good amen. I'm telling you that, and I need to get there myself. So let me catch up with you. Amen. I was looking at stuff today. I'm sorry. Luke chapter 4 and Luke chapter 22. Luke 4, verses 5 through 6. We're going to read a few verses here. We kind of covered these a few weeks ago when we were talking about spiritual warfare. But tonight we're going to talk about something a little different. I want to preach to you or talk to you about two kingdoms. And tonight, with God's help, I want to draw a parallel and maybe bring out some things. Maybe we can identify with the day that we're living in. But Luke chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, this is what it says. It says, "And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that it is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it." Amen. If you go to Luke chapter 22 with me. Luke 22. Just going to read one verse there. Luke 22 and verse 29. This is what it says. Jesus speaking to His disciples. "And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me." I'm going to read that again. Verse 29 of 22. Of chapter 22. "And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me." Amen. Tonight, with the Lord's help, I just want to speak to you for a few moments about two kingdoms. When we look here in the book of Luke chapter 4, you already know the setting of this. We talked about it. We know that Satan is tempting Jesus there in the wilderness. And there, with his final temptation, it says that he took Jesus up on a high mountain and began to show him the kingdoms of the world. Now, you'll notice there that it said in the moment of a time. Now, when I say this, it's pretty interesting to know this, that when Satan was able to do this, that he began to show Jesus the kingdoms of this world in the moment of a time, it means as in the twinkling of an eye, all at once or in an instant. It's almost as if one commentator said it like this, that when Satan tempted Jesus on top of this mountain, he began to show him the kingdom of the world. Maybe he pointed to the temple. Maybe he pointed to a palace or whatever he did. And he told the Lord Jesus Christ, "I give all this to you in a moment of time." And this is what the devil said unto him, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that it was delivered unto me, to whomsoever I will give it." Now, if you know the truth of that, you'll know that we know that the devil was never given this kingdom. We know that that old serpent, it was never delivered unto him, but he usurped that. And we know that the Bible does say about him several times, we'll get into it, that he is the God of this age and the prince of this world. And we will talk about that. But when I talk to you from Luke 22 and 29, Jesus is speaking and saying, "I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me." So we notice here that Jesus is presenting a kingdom to his disciples. And it is a kingdom of power and of glory and all those good things that came with it. So, what I want to do today, if you'll grab these two parallels with me. Here in Luke chapter 4, we see Satan himself offering Jesus a kingdom. But we see in Luke chapter 22, we don't see Satan offering a kingdom, but we see Jesus offering a kingdom unto his disciples. We see here two parallels that there are two kingdoms in this world. Now, I want you to notice something with me here today in the study real quick. That word kingdom alone is very interesting when you study this. We know when you look at the word kingdom, it's broken down into two words. It means a king and it means domain. It means a king and it means domain. What a kingdom is when there is a king who imposes his authority over a group of people. That king usually has laws. He has decrees. He has plans and he has buildings that he likes to construct.
That is what a kingdom is. If you say you are underneath the kingdom of so-and-so, you would say, I'm underneath the influence and the laws of this certain person. So when we say that there are two kingdoms in this world, we would understand that there's the kingdom of Satan and there is the kingdom of God. Follow me again. There is the kingdom of Satan and there is the kingdom of God. When you look at the kingdom of Satan, you would understand that it is a place that he has domain. It is a place that he has rules. It is a place that he has decrees. It is a place that he has plans. But when you look at the kingdom of God, there also you see another ruler and you see another rulership. You see one that has authority. You see his laws, his decrees, and his plans. So with this said today, we must establish these two kingdoms in our minds, because these two kingdoms are at work today in this world, and these two kingdoms are very, very, very real. We look at the kingdom of Satan, and 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto him. So notice this, because of his influence over the world here, and the greatest part of the world which lies in wickedness, the Bible does call Satan the God of this world. You know that and I know that. You don't have to go very far outside of these doors before you begin to witness the kingdom of Satan. You can see sin and you can see wickedness. You can see drug addiction and you can see all the perversion of this age in which we live in. All of us have felt the influence of the kingdom of Satan. Amen. If you're even born again, if you're born again tonight, you still feel that influence in this world. You know it's there. You see the enticements and the temptations. All of us have felt that temptation. All of us have seen the influence of the kingdom of Satan. Now, I shared this before. I believe it was here. We talked about Satan. How many knows in this room today, there's probably very few that you've ever met, or very, very few in this room who's ever been tempted by Satan himself. Now, there's only a few in Scripture that we give an example of. We know there's one section in the Bible. We know that Jesus, in there, in the early in the Gospels, he's tempted of the devil himself. You also find different times in the book of Job. You see Job being tempted by the devil himself. You go even in the Bible when it comes to Peter, if I'm not mistaken, you find that Jesus said these words. He says, Peter, Satan has asked for you, Peter, and he desires to sift you as wheat. But don't worry, I prayed for you, Peter, that your faith will fail you not. So we know that Satan most likely tempted him directly. But all of us have felt the influence of his kingdom and his organization. Look, we have to understand this today. Satan is not like God. He is not omnipresent. He is not omnipotent. He is not transcendent. He is limited to certain attributes. The devil cannot be everywhere at one time. So he's smart enough to understand this. If I can't be everywhere at one time, he understands that he can set up a kingdom. He can set up places to where his kingdom is in operation. That's where that very word in the Bible, when it comes to the word principalities, it means that he has an organized structure. And guess what, my friend? Even though we may not have been tempted by Satan himself, and God only knows if you have been tempted by Satan yourself, you have been tempted by his kingdom and his organization and his influence. I often say this as an example. I've never met Ronald McDonald myself. But oh, I felt his influence. You have too. There's one everywhere. Amen. But can you imagine that on a greater magnitude? Just like there's a McDonald's on every corner here in Hampton, Virginia. I'll tell you, my friend, hear me. Satan has an empire right here outside these four walls. I'm telling you, right here in our communities, he has an empire. And he has spirits that are at work in our communities. And there's a kingdom in our community that is of the devil. Notice what John 14:30 says. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. So notice this, even talks about Satan being the prince of this world. So understand this, humanity in a large part is under Satan's domain, his government, his rulership, and his influence. And you know that is true. But I also also in Scripture, it doesn't just talk about the kingdom of Satan, but it talks about the kingdom of God. You're familiar with this in Matthew 6 and 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You'll find in Mark 9 and 1. And He said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come in power. So notice this. The Bible tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The Bible lets us know there in the book of John that you cannot even see the kingdom unless you have been born again. Amen. But I would present this to us today. We have to be careful, because we take for granted that everybody's seeking the kingdom and everybody can see the kingdom. Let me tell you this. I have met this within our holiness movement. We tell young people, seek the kingdom of God, and they ain't got a clue what you're talking about. Come on. We tell adults, seek the kingdom of God, and they don't know what they're seeking. They just think they read a chapter once a week or pray a little bit. Oh, the kingdom, if that's the kingdom of God, if it's diminished down to a devotional time, no, sir. The kingdom of God is His divine influence in our lives. It's something that is real. It's something that is powerful. It's something that pulls down strongholds. It's something that the devil hates to hear when you begin to preach about His domain and His power and His strongness of His kingdom. The devil hates it. The world hates it. But I'm telling you, the kingdom of God is alive and well today. And I'm telling you, yes, you should seek it, but you've got to know what you're seeking for. Yes, you need to see it, but you must be born again. Thank God for the kingdom of God in this world. It is still strong and going, and it is still powerful. When I read to you a moment ago in Mark 9 and 1, and He said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them which stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come in power. Now, I'm Pentecostal to the bone. So everything I see through a Pentecostal lens. Amen. I look at this. When was the kingdom of God? When did it come in its display? And when did it come in the fullness of His power? Yes, we see the ministry of Jesus. We see His kingdom as Jesus is as a warrior marching on the face of this world. I'm telling you, the devil hated it and the world couldn't stand Him. That's why they had to kill Him. He was a man that was a warrior, and He came here for one purpose, and that was to progress His kingdom. Now hear me today, I think this is always interesting. When you see Jesus coming into this world, you don't see Him playing patty cake with the devil. You see a warfare. You don't see Jesus going up to the devil in the wilderness here and say, look, you can keep the blind, I'll take the crippled. Come on. You don't see Him coming there and say, you know what, devil, I'll let you have this terrain. I'll let you have this territory. I'll let you have this much space. No, sir. When Jesus came into this world and He put His foot down in this world, He meant business against the devil. He wasn't here for negotiations. He wasn't here to debate which property or territory the devil was going to keep. No, sir. Jesus came here. The Jews was His. He wanted the Gentiles. He wanted the uttermost parts of the world. And He came to let the devil know, wherever my message is preached and my kingdom is, you'll lose your grip. You'll lose your stronghold. You're not strong enough. Yes, devil, you got a kingdom of this world, but it cannot stand against the militant and powerful kingdom of God. I'm telling you, that's why He tells us the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. That's not an offensive term. That's not a defensive term. That doesn't mean we're on defense and the devil's coming against us. No, sir. That means we march to the gates of hell and then we kick them open. They cannot stand against this message when it's preached in the power of the kingdom. Thank God for His kingdom, and thank God that we're a part of it, and thank God that it's real, and thank God that it's tangible. I'm telling you, it's real. Jesus meant business. Amen? So when I look at this, when He said, some of you will not taste death until you see the kingdom come, Jesus was saying this to Him, so obviously He wasn't referring to Himself at the moment. I believe Acts chapter 2 was when the kingdom of God, the inception of the church, well, that was the will of God. I believe the fulfillment at Pentecost, men became under the absolute control of the Holy Ghost. That is what the kingdom is. You say, Brother Derek, I want to see the kingdom in this world. You show me a man, you show me a woman that's underneath the direct influence and the leading of the Holy Ghost. I'll show you a man and a woman that is a kingdom warrior, one that is operating and listening and being driven by the Spirit to do His will. The Bible says this, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Amen. It goes on to say this, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So this is what the key is, and please hear me today. If you want to see the kingdom of God, follow me. The kingdom of God is not a battle for territory. God's not trying to get hold of North Carolina, so to speak, as a territory. Kentucky, Ohio, Russia, China, and Virginia. God's trying to get hold of your heart. Amen. That's the territory God's trying to get a hold of. It's not a boundary that we put together. It's nothing along those lines. No, sir. It's a battle for your heart. You look at this world, how earthly kings and how earthly governments, they try their best to forward their agenda. You know what they do? If they find out that you're stealing from them, guess what? I've read about this for years. If a man will steal something in a Middle Eastern country, they'll take that man and guess what they'll do? They'll cut his hand off. But this is the problem. You've got a one-handed thief. What are you going to do when he takes the apple with the other hand? What if he starts taking them with his feet? This is what Jesus says. Keep your hand, give me your heart. Amen. You know what? You can keep your hand. That's not the key to keep you from stealing. You give me your heart. So notice this today. The entrance into these kingdoms are the same. Guess what? When you were born, the Bible says, behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Your original birth, you came into this world. You are already in the kingdom of Satan. You entered into this world, and yes, you're innocent. I know the years of accountability. I know that. But you know, you see that fallenness in the life of a child. It doesn't take very long for it to go along. And guess what? Until they're born again, I know if they die before the age of accountability is different. But as they get older, they've got to be born again when they get to the age of accountability. So you're born into this world. You're born into His kingdom. But let me give you a news flash tonight. Also, when it comes to the kingdom of God, it has the same entrance. Because Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Guess what? You're born into the kingdom of God as well. But it's not a natural birth. I know I've used this example probably 5 times here. I can't remember what I've told you, what I hadn't told you. Amen. I wrestle with that. But you know, when it comes to being born again, you didn't do all the work. I hope you know that. I said, when's the last time you walked past the maternity ward and the doctor's looking at the baby and said, you did a good job, buddy. The mother did the work. So when it comes to being born into this kingdom, yes, there comes a place of submitting yourself to Christ, yes. But we know God does all the work. Notice this, a spiritual birth brings spiritual vision, a new life, a new mind, and a new ruler. It's amazing to know this today, my friend, that God's kingdom is real, it's tangible, and we can be a part of it in power and in glory of the Holy Ghost. Now to prove this to you that it's something that is more than just what you see, can touch, and feel. A lot of times that's what we're limited to in America. Is everything's got to make sense to our senses. Well, it don't sound right. So what? I don't care. The Bible says it. Well, I can't see Jesus. I don't care. He's real. He's alive. The Bible says it. Well, I can't smell Jesus. You ain't got to. He's a rose of Sharon. Read the Word. He smells good. Amen. Everything by faith right here in the Word. If it calls Him the lily of the valley, He smells good. He rose of Sharon, He smells good. He's everything to me. Amen. So we look at this. I was listening actually recently, and you can look it up on YouTube. Amen. B.H. Clendenin preaches a message about the kingdom of God. And it changed my life years ago when I listened to it. He was talking about there was a certain meeting that he was in. And in this meeting, it was pretty amazing. That he said it started with 150 people. It was back in the late 50s, I believe it was. Starting with 150 people. And by the time the meeting was over, there was over 1,000 people coming to that meeting. He would preach it 7 years in a row. He said one night, he said it was almost as if heaven opened up, and it seemed as if God was just standing there in the midst of that congregation. He said it was the most amazing thing. He said over 100 people got baptized in the Holy Ghost that night with many witnesses. Boy, we get excited when one gets it a year. 100 filled with the Holy Ghost in one service. He said he was even preaching, and he got to the place. He said back then they had nothing but microphones that plugged into the PA system. He said he was preaching. He didn't realize that half the time he was preaching, he wasn't even plugged into the PA system. He said he thought he was really doing something. He said, but he walked away from the platform. He said he was preaching. He said he was just so caught up in the Spirit. He said he was preaching. He said it was like a roar in that building. He said, in that tent meeting. It was like a bull rush meeting. He said, people were getting saved and filled. He said he was sitting there preaching. And he said, he looked around. He said, I don't know how long I've been unplugged from the PA system. He said, once I realized I was unplugged from the PA system. He said, well, God moved anyhow. So he began to go back up there. And he said, he turned around and a man was running full speed at him. And he said, so I laid hands on him, he said, not to bless him, but to keep him from running into me. He said, all of a sudden that man began to speak in such a beautiful language. He said he was speaking in tongues. He said he could tell. He said, all of a sudden, I forgot the pastor's name that came up beside him. He said, Bart Clendenin, what are you doing? He said, what do you mean what I'm doing? Listen to him. He's filled with the Holy Ghost. He's speaking in a beautiful language. And that preacher said, no, no, no. He said, that's my nephew. He said, he has been dumb and blind. He's been dumb and deaf for his whole life for 35 years. He can't even say mama. Think about that. Testimonies testify to this. He said, that boy can't even say mama, Clendenin. Clendenin said, he's speaking in tongues. And they begin to interview after the Lord lifted in that service. The boy wasn't healed. He still, they said, after the service was over, he still couldn't say a word. But they begin to talk to him in the way they communicate. And that boy said, somewhere in that service, he said, I've never heard before. He said, but I could hear Brother Clendenin preaching. He said, I could feel the Holy Ghost moving. He said, my tongue was loose and I was filled. I'm telling you, it's beyond consciousness. It's beyond tangible things. It's beyond on your senses. The kingdom is within you. I look at this and I'm often convicted of that story. I've preached it for years because I know it's that real. Church, that kingdom is at work right now in this room. And sometimes if we're not careful, and I'm not careful, we'll come to church on a Sunday night expecting just to get through church again when God's kingdom is here and He's wanting to touch our lives. Amen. When God's Spirit is here and He's wanting to fill you up, that you can go outside these doors and you can preach a message that is influential, that the devils would fear to see you come on the job tomorrow, that hell, that the drug addict would hate to see you come down their street. That's what God wants. He's wanting to make you a kingdom warrior. It's not enough just you maintaining your salvation. No, sir. He's wanting to make you powerful. He's wanting to use you. He's wanting you to take this kingdom and spread it throughout our community and myself included. But yet we spend so much time maintaining. I've been saved 40 years, 20 years, 5 years. I'm coming up close to 10. How many souls have we seen won to the kingdom? Come on. I get on my little reading kicks is what I call them. There's a subject, and like I often said, I said, I'll start reading and I won't come up for air for like 2 days just studying it. I just love reading about the old Pentecostal church. I was reading recently, there's 3 books. One from the Church of God, one from the Pentecostal Holiness, and there's one from the Assemblies of God. I believe the one in the Pentecostal Holiness, it was Vincent something. He wrote Power from On High, Old Time Power. And then there was a man in the Assemblies of God who wrote a book called Power from On High. And then there was another book that was written for the Church of God. But each one of them are historical accounts of the foundation of the Assemblies of God, the Church of God, and the Pentecostal Holiness. I cannot read those books without falling under conviction and needing to pray. Because them men didn't have a complicated take on this gospel. They didn't even own a Strong's Concordance. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They would grab their Bibles. They would walk into communities. They would set up tents. And before they left, the bars were shut down. The prostitutes were saved. And all it was praying men full of the Holy Ghost. Look, my friend, thank God for learning. And thank God for educational things. Thank God for them. But I'll tell you this. If we know everything that is out there in a textbook, and if we know everything about every Greek and Hebrew term, it does not change this fact. We need to be filled with the Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost. And we need to advance His kingdom. There's times in my life that I'll find myself getting into so much theology. I just enjoy learning. But one day I will never forget that God dealt with my heart. He said, if you're not careful, your theology will become your idolatry. You can worship that stuff. And I'll find myself being driven back to a closet to pray or coming out here to pray. And the Lord would show me in my heart, you need to be refreshed. You need to be anointed.
You've been operating within yourself and you need the Holy Ghost to use you once again. And I'll have to fall back into His arms and I'll have to say, God, you're right. I do need to push back the plate. I do need to pray longer than I've been praying. I do thank God for reading, but I need to make this something that's so real and tangible within me and so contagious. Church, we've got to use, we've got to get this. We're a part of a kingdom that is a real and alive. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up, because I mentioned it on Wednesday night, I worry about our country. We are falling into these categories that God has never intended for us to fall in. I will tell you this today, the Holy Ghost is not a Democrat or a Republican. He's called the Holy Ghost. He transcends all that. I know we can support one thing over the other, more concerned. I know that. But what I'm saying is this, there is a conflict in our world right now between two kingdoms. And I believe the reality of these two kingdoms at work in this world has been noticeable for centuries. It has to be understood that most of what is happening in the world is not controlled by presidents and senators and NATO and parliaments. The way that we look at this world, the way that it shifts, the demands that we have to acknowledge that there are spiritual activities of two distinct kingdoms, the kingdom of the devil and the kingdom of God. You know, we can label it down to all these different schisms and isms and groups and it comes down to this. It's either God or it's not God. Amen? It's either black and white. It's either God or the devil. There's no middle area here. Notice this. It's easy. And sometimes we've got to get this in our mind. It's easy to begin to look at this world without through this lens. But every time I encourage you today, brothers and sisters, when you're looking at this world, look at it through this lens. Look at the kingdom of God and look at the kingdom of Satan and let that be what you start making your decisions on. Notice this. That it's either Christ or the Antichrist. It's either temporal or eternal. It's either right or wrong. It's left or right. And there's no other way to look at it. You know what worldview that is? The Bible. We don't operate in a political worldview. We operate in a biblical worldview. Now I know that's foreign to some people. Well, what do you mean by? I mean this. Everything you do, pray about it. You don't separate your anything from being a Christian. You don't separate your education from this word. You don't separate your job from this word. You don't separate your politics from this word. You don't separate your family from this word. You don't separate your finances from this word. You don't separate anything from this word. Everything is looked at through the lens of Scripture. And when I look at the Bible, there's the kingdom of the devil and the kingdom of God. Two kingdoms. Now this conflict is easy to recognize when it's nation against nation. I've often heard people, and you say it, Korea versus South Korea. You ever heard of that? Israel versus Iran. It's realer than that. You hear me? It's God versus the kingdom of Satan. That's how real it is. Now notice this. Ephesians 6 and 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. My friend, if we're not careful, we make this a flesh and blood battle. And it's never to be that way. You're never to try to fight this in a flesh and a blood battle, my friend. It's more than Obama, Hillary, and Donald Trump. It's more than homosexuals and abortion. There are deep workings of two kingdoms in this world. And sometimes we have several worldviews at working in our lives. And you have to be stripped down to nothing but a biblical worldview. And the biblical worldview says you're either serving God and you're in His kingdom or the devil in His kingdom. Now, I know that takes and puts a lot of our family even in the kingdom of Satan. I'm sorry. It's the Bible. Amen? Look, I love my brothers to death. I can get around them and we can have a good time to an extent. But I ain't going to be around them for so long. They're going to hear something about Jesus. Why? He's my king! And I've learned this about them. You ain't going to get around them but so long, you're going to hear about their king. Oh, yeah. They begin to talk about, well, I went here. And they don't even know they're talking about it. My little brother, one time I remember, and Lord help me, but my little brother's bigger than I am. And he loves to wrestle. You know, I'm getting too old for that stuff. He'd come up and grab you, and he's probably 250 pounds, and he'll lay on you and everything else. I'm like, get off me, you rascal, you know. And I still can handle him. I'll pull his ears and everything else. I said, get off me now. And every now and then I get serious. I'm like, go on, now leave me alone. I'm getting old and grumpy. But I remember one day we were talking. We were on vacation several years ago. My wife would remember. And he kept on. And I'm not talking about just joking around, but kept on talking about his master and his kingdom. Kept talking about, I went here. He doesn't want to hear that stuff. I saw this. I could care less, man. Leave me, you know, I don't agree with that stuff. You know, I'm going to tell you how it is. Leave me alone. He'll tell me this. Before he was said and done, at the end of that night, he said, I'm sorry, because I done laid into him so many times. He said, you know you're going to hell, buddy. And I don't just go around saying that all the time. But when he keeps talking about his king, I'm going to let him know where his king's going to take him. And I begin to tell him about my king and about the love of our Savior. And I know there's a kingdom that's better than his. My friend, it ain't going to be so long. You can't separate yourself from you, your king, his laws, and his beliefs. You've got to tell him the truth when you have that opportunity and God allows. But with this said today, the beautiful thing of this is this. The kingdom of God has prevailed, will prevail, and always will prevail. We look in the Bible, and I'm convinced that these workings in the hour that we're living in are just as great as the ones shared with us in Scripture. Do you remember the story of Egypt and Israel? A lot of times we just talk about the Israelites, and we talk about the Egyptians, but I'm telling you there was something deeper there than you could even see. The devil didn't want the children of Israel to be set free. He did not want the seed of Christ to be perpetuated in this world. He did not want the people to be free. You know why? He realized that Abraham was God's man. And then he knew that Jacob was carrying that on in this world. He wanted to destroy them. He wanted to take them out. But my friend, you see God showing up on the scene. You had Egypt, which is the kingdom of Satan. And you had Israelites, which is the kingdom of God. And you had Moses, which is God's messenger. He shows up in Egypt. He in business, and guess what? God's kingdom prevailed. Even if Pharaoh didn't want them to leave, when it was said and done, he said, take your snotty-nosed children, take your horses, your donkeys, and your pigs, and your... not pigs, or Jews, I understand, you follow me here. But follow me, amen, take them all, and get out of here! Let me tell you why. Our kingdom always prevails. You remember in the story, I remember in the Bible, the story there in the book of Daniel, remember Nebuchadnezzar had that dream about that statue? I mean, the head of gold, the chest of silver, the loins of bronze, the legs of iron, the iron and clay, the feet. And you know, the tough thing is this. You know, Nebuchadnezzar calls Daniel and all them in and said, look, I had a dream. I can't remember it. I want you to tell me my dream and the interpretation. You're talking about a lose-lose situation. Can you imagine me coming here on a Sunday morning and saying, I had a dream. I can't remember what a dream is, but can you tell me what the dream was and tell me what it meant? Give me a little bit of ground to work with. And even the wise men of that day were like, man, this is crazy. But Daniel came there and he began to interpret this dream. And notice this. This is what he said. He said, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, the dream that you had. He began to tell them. He began to tell them there in Daniel 2 and 44. And in the days of these kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to another other people, but it shall break to pieces and consume all the kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. And that prophecy, brothers and sisters, is right now real in these end times. Let the kingdom of Satan rage. Let them feel like there's something with their gold, silver, bronze, and iron. But oh, there was a stone that's cut out of a mountain without hands. It's going to smote every kingdom of this world, and they're going to fall at the feet of Jesus, because His kingdom will stand forever. Isn't it good to be in this kingdom? I love what Hebrews comes on to say. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, notice this, we receiving a kingdom. Notice what it says. Which cannot be moved. Brothers and sisters, I don't have a clue what this world's going to happen. I don't know. I know sometimes we look and try to get glimpses of hope from here. Oh, he'll do this and he'll do that. I come to find out half of them lied to me my whole life. Politics has always lied to me. Every now and then you have one that'll make one pass one law they said they'll pass, and we're like, man, he was a good president. Then he'll get in a press conference and cuss somebody out, and you're like, well, he's still a good... You hear what I'm saying? George Bush wasn't my savior. Thank God for good things that people do. I know there's deeper workings and things that have to be done. I know that. God gives men wisdom. We have rulers. Thank God for them. But I will tell you this. I'm not looking at America to be the kingdom that's not going to be shaken. Amen? I realize that we as other nations have a possibility of falling. I don't want that. I don't wish that. I hope you don't. If you do, there's something wrong with you. I want my daughter. And I want your children and grandchildren and your lives and your family. I want you to be raised in peace. And I want your kids to be exposed to liberty and justice and the freedom of religion. I want that in their lives. But I'm telling you, I don't put my confidence in that. Yes, I want to influence it the way that I can. But the kingdom that is given to us that cannot be moved. Notice what it says. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You say, Brother Derek, what is my duties? I said, I'm living in a very times. I'm living in times that are rough. I'm living in times where everything's falling to pieces. What advice do you give me? I begin to remind you, you are a pilgrim and a stranger that's a part of a greater kingdom that will not move. Let our financial structure shake. I hate that. And you fear it too. But I'm telling you, if He can feed the sparrows, He can feed you. If He can clothe the lilies, He can clothe you. These are benefits and being in the kingdom of God. The devil don't promise you that. He'll have you homeless with no clothes. But oh, God has been so faithful. And this kingdom is that real. What do you do in 2016? $20 trillion debt. Where can I find peace? Come into the kingdom. Where can I find joy? Come into the kingdom. Where can I find security? Come into the kingdom. Where can I find happiness? Come into the kingdom. Live in the kingdom. This is the kingdom of God. This is where we should be. And what should we do? We should serve God acceptably with reverence and with godly fear. I'm about to close. This is the message you need to live in. You are a part of a kingdom that is not weak. The devil wants you to believe, and I'm telling you, the world, the media, the perversion of this age is screaming at the church right now. I mean, it's trying its best to intimidate us to our very core, trying to threaten our tax-exempt status, trying to threaten us financially. God, I don't want none of that to happen, but if it does, we can stand on His Word. Amen? They're yelling at us so loud that I have talked to people who are living in a state of fear. God doesn't want you there. He wants you to understand that His kingdom will not be moved. The underground church in China today, who's seeing some very rapid growth in the midst of persecution, has come to this reality that the third, I forgot the name of the church there in China, the government-ran church, they said, we're withdrawing from that. We are a part of a kingdom. Let them burn our houses, burn our churches, kill our families. We're going to serve Jesus. How do you kill people that are already dead spiritually? Spiritually speaking, to follow me. The old missionaries that would get on the boats. And the captain of the boat said, you know you're going to die. The old missionary looked at him and said, I died a long time ago. I'm not going nowhere until God is done with me. Reverend Duke Downs, many of you have never heard that name, but he's a preacher in Chino, California. Is a big part of the School of Christ. And I may have told this with you before, but it's interesting how he was preaching in communist Russia back early 90s when the Iron Curtain had just lifted and there was still a lot of influence of that regiment. I forget what it was called. But they were sitting there and they were constantly persecuting the preachers. So Duke Downs, he was there preaching one day and a soldier came up to him with a machine gun and said, sir, he said, if you're out here preaching tomorrow, you're going to die. Duke Downs said, do what? He said, if you come out here and preach tomorrow, we're going to kill you. So Duke Downs went to his hotel room, began to pray and cry. I said, Lord, I don't want to die. I mean, do you? I don't either. He said, he called up Brother Clendenin. He was there, part of that ministry. Brother Clendenin, they're going to kill me. He said, the only words of encouragement he got was this, good son, you're about to have revival. He said at the end of that conversation, he said he was convinced Bert Clinton hates everybody. He said it took him 3 days praying and fasting. He said at the end of that third day, he said when he got up to go preach that night, and a few days later, he got up to preach and it was his turn to preach. He said he walked out of a hotel room so convinced of the kingdom of God that if they tried to kill him and it wasn't his time to go, that God can make him bulletproof. Come on. He didn't put in those words, but he said, I didn't fear man. He said, so when I walked out of there, he said, I wrestled and prayed, and I finally told God one night, midnight hour, God, I will die preaching this gospel to these men that never heard it. I'll die for it. And that's exactly where God wanted him to be. I've often heard those stories. I love the school of Christ. I follow it so much because the more men have died for that gospel and that ministry, they've planted more churches. The reason I follow it so much, because every time I read of these men, I cry. Because there's been times in my life I feel God draw me to that same place. Not that I would have to die, but are you willing to give your life for this gospel? I'll be honest with you, there's been a few times. I remember when I first got married, you can ask my wife, I think I've shared it with her several times. I felt like several times in prayer in the little study there in our little 500 square foot apartment. I felt several times, I felt like God would ask me, would you die for me? And He would take my mind to John chapter 21, where Jesus is speaking to Peter and say, lovest thou me? I felt like I was talking to Jesus and I was, Lord, you know I love you. Lord, you know I love you. And then I felt the same thing He told Peter. He said, Peter, there's going to come a day. You know the story where Jesus prophesies Peter's death at the end of John 21. After He asked him 3 times, do you love me? Peter says, yes, yes, yes. He said, all right, Peter, you're going to die for me. He said, in your younger days, you went where you wanted, but there's going to come a time in your life that men are going to carry you. I'm telling you, church, we have to be that adamant about God's kingdom. Get to the place, and I'm asking you to pray, and I'm going to pray. As a movement, as a church, I don't know what's on the horizon. I don't. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everything just pans out? But yet I don't know how to describe it. I'm wise enough to know apart from miracles and a great reformation, we're headed for darker times, deeper waters. But get to the place in your life spiritually. You say, look, I'm not going nowhere until God's done with me. I'll always have enough as long as God sees fit to give it to me. I'll never go without because God is faithful. His kingdom will not be shaken. And His kingdom is within me. Stand to your feet all over this church. As my wife goes to the piano, I want us to take this seriously tonight. I know you can get a little tired in body sometimes on Sunday evenings, but I want you to take this seriously. I want you to think in your own life right now. Can you mentally, spiritually in your mind, can you think of what it would be like tonight if somebody was to walk through those doors, threaten your life, unless you renounce this great gospel, knowing that I have a child in this very building. God, help me stand. Help me stand. I've never shared this, I don't even think, with nobody here, but one night we had a gentleman visit this church on a Sunday night. I'll never forget it. It was right when I first got here, and I was still afraid of the city, and in a sense. I remember one night we had a gentleman over here that sat over here somewhere. He was probably about 6'2", dreadlocks. I've never seen him before. Nobody else knew who he was. But I tell you, several times during that service, I'm looking at him. I remember that service, I was just searching my own heart. I said, Lord, if that man does have some ill intentions towards this congregation or towards me, God, help us to have the strength to stand. Now, thank God it was nothing to it. But what I'm saying is you never know what the future will hold. Don't think, church, hear me, please. I'm warning you. Don't think it's beyond it happening to us. The moment that we speak right now, I'm talking to you, and we look at each other. As we're speaking right now, on foreign soil, men are dying for this gospel. That's not just something that happened 2,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago. It's happening right now. I will tell you this, God loves them no less than He loves us the same. Amen? He cares for them the same. But the men and women had to get to the place. My life is nothing. It's all about Jesus and His kingdom. I'm about to let you pray, but I want to tell you this. I was listening to a missionary who was teaching the School of Christ material in Iran. If I'm not mistaken, it was somewhere, a Middle Eastern country where it was very hostile towards them young men. All the young men, I think they were 20, 21. He said some of them were 18, 19 years old. And this man that was teaching them that ministry, he said they had a powerful week together. He said they prayed. He said they'd get up and pray in the mornings. The Holy Ghost came by, filled those young men with the Holy Ghost, gave them such a strength and such a boldness in that meeting. And he said it came the last day where he had to leave the room. He said he looked at these young men who were about to go back into their countries. He said, I don't even know what to tell them because I know some of them are going to die for this gospel. They were sent there by the church in a country where it was hostile to preach the gospel. They were sent there to be empowered and to be taught. And he said, as he was about to close, he said, one of the young men came up to him and said, Pastor, he said, we've got something to tell you. We're not afraid to go back. And the preacher said, what do you mean? He said, we're not afraid anymore. He said, what you've taught us, we're convinced. And the Holy Ghost has made it real to us. We cannot wait to get back to our churches and to preach this gospel to everybody. Church, if a group of 20-year-olds, 18-year-olds can get to the place spiritually where they have that cry in their heart that this kingdom is everything to them, can't we do the same? I'm asking you to pray and me to pray because we need God to help us. There's two kingdoms, the kingdom of the enemy and the kingdom of God. Let's make sure we're doing everything we can. I know you're a citizen of the kingdom. Praise the Lord. But let's make sure we're doing everything to progress this kingdom. Let's make sure we are convinced of this kingdom and how powerful it is. Amen. Find your place to pray tonight. Empty those pews. Lord, make us what we need to be. Convict our hearts. Lord, I ask you to strengthen our congregation. Help us. In the name of Jesus.